gospel according to John chapter 14. The gospel according to John chapter 14, reading verse 80. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. My friends, what a precious word this is. What a precious promise it is. It is the word of God. The Lord Jesus spoke this word to his dear disciples when here below. You remember that they had walked with him, both in spirit and in the body. You see, Jesus was here as a man, and he walked with the dear disciples. And there was a blessed union. They looked to the dear Lord, their Master, their dear Redeemer. They loved him with all their hearts. And so will you, my dear friends, if you are led into to have a little feeling sense of the love and mercy of the Lord toward your soul. But these dear disciples now were sad. They were sad in their hearts. Why? Because the Lord Jesus told them that he was to shortly go from them and leave them. And to suffer. And he says this, the blessed promise, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You see, although the Lord Jesus was shortly to leave his dear disciples forever in the body upon this earth, he was going back into heaven with his Father. And of course his dear disciples were sad. It may be some of you are sad this day. It may be that you're mourning in your heart and in your spirit, because you cannot find this blessed Lord. And my dear friends, I venture to say this, that if you are mourning over this, then you've had a taste of his blessed presence, or you wouldn't know the difference when you haven't got it. It may be you're ready to cut yourself off and say that you're altogether wrong. You don't believe you've come in at the gate. Satan tells you you've jumped over the wall or come in some other way. And yet you know in your heart that you have a longing toward him. You're sad in your heart because you can't find him. Ah, my friends, this is an evidence that you've known and had a visit from him in the past. It's an evidence that the blessed Holy Spirit has taken of the things of Jesus and revealed them to you. And there's that love in your heart toward him. There's that aching void. There's that hungering and thirsting after him. Do you know anything of it? blessed promise is to you? It is. I will not leave you comfortless. It wasn't only for the dear disciples of old, my dear friends, it is for the whole people of God, the whole of the Church of God. It is, it's for everyone. Because everyone will come into these pathways where they cannot find their dear Redeemer, where they lose sight of him, where he is hid from their sight for a season. This is the way the Lord has ordained that we should walk in. You see, there'll be no trial of faith if we had his presence all the while with us. You look into your own heart and experiences. When you had a taste of the dear Lord's love and mercy and felt his presence, what happened about sin and the world in your heart? Why, you hadn't a single thought toward it. No place toward it, had you? No desire after it. You didn't want it. You might have felt you was a sinner and known you was. So you are. But the Lord may have even hid that from your sight so that you couldn't see your sin. But all the attraction, the blessed drawing, when you had his blessed presence, you didn't want anything of the world then, did you? You hadn't a desire after it. Where was the power in temptation? Gone, hadn't it? It had gone. The power in temptation goes when the dear Lord's presence is with you. But oh, how different it is when the Lord is not with you, when his face is hid, and you feel there's clouds between, and then the temptations come. Oh, how weak we find and prove that we are then. Because you must remember this, that temptation is always something that we might, is made attractive to us. It's made attractive. And it was so with Adam and Eve in the beginning, when they were in the Garden of Eden. When Satan came to Eve and showed her the tree of life and knowledge and made the fruit look attractive and desirable to her, you see, the temptation. And so, there was that desire after it, and she fell. She partook of it. Proving the weakness of the flesh, she fell. And do we not find the same, my dear friends? I know I do. I do. I solemnly have to prove it over and over again, the weakness of my flesh. Oh, and the power of temptation doesn't get any smaller, my friends, as we journey along. It seems to come along with us. Sometimes we perhaps think and feel something of the Lord's blessedness. We may go to his house and we perhaps feel we have a good hearing time. We feel the blessed Lord is there. Why, and our heart is set on fire. Our attractions, our love ascends up toward him. And we leave all the world behind. But how is it Monday morning? Ah, how is it then? All to my daily work, and how soon I found I'd been in right the reverse place to where I was the day before. Satan's there, that vile tempter, drawing our hearts away from God, causing the lusts of our hearts to bubble up, and the temptations that he puts in our way, and the suggestions in our hearts, and there's that warfare within. What a warfare it is, what a battle it is at times. And I know this, dear friends, that when we look away from the Lord, we shall grow weaker and weaker, and the temptation will get greater, and left to ourselves we shall fall in it, and do fall in it, time and time again. The guilt that we suffer because of our sins. And it's our just deserts, my friends. What a mercy it is really that the Lord comes and causes us to feel our guilt. Because left to ourselves, my friends, we should grow hard. We should have a sear conscience. There'd be no tenderness toward him. There'd be no repentance but for the work of his blessed Spirit. Do you not have to prove in your life that these things are in his hands? Your own heart, the softening and the hardening of it. You can't give yourself a soft heart, can you? You can't. But do you know, and have you felt, the Lord can? He can. And he does. He comes to his dear people. He don't leave them in all their sinfulness and hardness. And how they despond at times, and how unbelief grows. But the Lord says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you comfortless. This is a blessed promise. It's a promise, my friends, from our dear Redeemer. You see, he knows the pathway that you and I are walking. He knows the places that we shall come into, as he does of all his dear people. He knew where Peter the Apostle would come. He told him before it came to pass that he would deny him three times. Peter couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. But he had to prove the truth of the word of his dear master. And it took place. But he wasn't left in it. The Lord broke his heart. He gave him that repenting spirit. And he will, you and I, my friends, if we're taught of him. He won't leave us in our sins. There'd be no hope for us if he did. I know there are those times when we come like Peter. We're bold, we're strong. We think we are, in faith. We have a little sweetness in our heart, perhaps, from the Lord, and feel a little attraction and love toward him, and we get bold. We say, yes, I won't do this anymore, Lord. I won't go in that path anymore. I'm going to serve thee better. We're dislodged, Peter. We get bold. The desire's good, my friends. But we have to prove that we can't do it. We can't keep ourselves. We do. We have to prove the weakness of our flesh, don't we? Time and time again. But there is this blessed Redeemer, my friends. He's the one that we want to look toward. He's the one that is able to redeem us and deliver us from all sin. It's all sin. You may have those things in your heart that you feel that to be the that will condemn you, that will keep you from the dear Lord, that will bar you from heaven. But my dear friends, if you are a child of God, they never will. They never will. The Lord Jesus' work is complete. And when he died on the cross and said it was finished, it was finished for every child of God. And he said in that blessed prayer to his dear Father that those that he had been given, he had brought them, and none will be lost. Not one. Not one will be lost. And then, my dear friends, this is and will be at times an encouragement to you and I, if we are his, because there is that blessed embracing. The Lord embraces his dear people. He loves them. He says, I will not leave them comfortless. I'm going to bring them all. None of them lost. No, not one. You may often feel that you're lost and will be lost. You feel you come so short in serving him. Ah, I do, my friends, I know the path. And I know if you're taught of the Lord, you'll know it too in the measure. We each shall know. Ah, but for his mercy we're doomed, we're finished, we're lost. You might say, well, I hope I had a taste of his love and mercy some years ago, perhaps many years ago, perhaps not many years. Well, how is it with you since then? How is it with me since then? Well, I know how it is with me, my friends. I know this, that I need that mercy again and again. I feel I need fresh applications of it, do you? I believe you will, my friends, if you are taught by the Blessed Spirit. I believe you'll want it again and again revealed to you. I believe you'll want to be assured again and again that that was really for you, and that all those sins that you committed since that day are also forgiven. You see, Satan often uses these, I believe, and brings them forward to a child of God and puts them right in front of him. And he says, well, now you had a taste of the Lord's mercy, you thought back then. But now look at this lot that you've been guilty of since then. What about that lot? You're finished, you're doomed. You'll never get to heaven. My friend, Satan is a liar. He ever was a liar. And if he can draw away a child of God and bring him into despair, he will. But once a child of God has tasted of the love and mercy of God, this is a seal. It's a seal, my friends, from the blessed Redeemer. And it's a promise, really, that he'll bring you through. You say, what about all these sins in front of me now? Yes, let him put them all behind his back forever. Then what are we to do? Where are we to find relief? Looking at these sins. They'll be a burden to us. We shall be brought in guilty. We shall have to repent. We shall have to tell the Lord we are guilty of them. But then what? Is that all? No. Our eyes then will turn to the Lord Jesus, that blessed Redeemer. And we shall want a blessed application, another confirmation that he has put them all away. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come again. He promised the dear disciples he wouldn't leave them forever, that he'd come again to them, he'd comfort them. Oh, they was about to walk in a very deep path. Everything was going to be put to the test. You see, they've been brought along by the Lord Jesus. He brought them along, he taught them, he preached to them. He showed them the way of salvation. But as yet it hadn't took place. And there was a lot of unbelief in their hearts. They could hardly believe it. But the Lord said, what should take place? That the Son of Man must suffer all these things and be killed by wicked men, but all in accordance to the will of God. Remember this. Where the Lord Jesus suffered in the garden, how he travailed in prayer before his Father with that burden on him, the redemption of his dear people. He knew he was feeling the weight of it. He knew he'd got to drink the cup, and it was more, it seemed more than he could bear. I say it reverently, because he came to his dear Father and he said, if it be possible, take this cup. From me. He felt the weight of it. And he begged of the Lord, if it be possible, take it away. But all the blessed submission, the humble submission, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. As if the Lord said, this is the way, even to the blessed Redeemer. He had to walk in it. And you and I, my friends, we shall have to walk these things out. There'll be times when we have to take the cup and drink it. The bitters. There are those bitters that we have to drink. But I believe we should be brought where the Lord Jesus wants. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. My friends, this is a blessed place to be brought, to have this humble submission and willingness to walk in the bitter pathway that He has ordained we should walk in. We can't do it of ourselves, though, can we? We can't give ourselves that humble submission. Rather is it the reverse. But have you not proved that the Lord has enabled you at times to walk into some bitter pathway? It may be an affliction, it may be bodily suffering, it may be persecution, it may be anything, many things. Your heart knows the path that you've been called to walk in. And perhaps at first there was a rebellion and an unwillingness. But perhaps you found that the Lord made you willing. Perhaps you read His word or a line of a hymn, or something that the minister spoke came right where you was, and you saw immediately and heard the Lord's voice in it. This is the way, walk in it. Ah, the Lord has a blessed ability to turn our hearts and make us submissive to walk in His ways and in His paths. And He's promised to be with His people in that pathway. He doesn't leave them. You might say, you might be ready to argue and say, well, I'm in a pathway now and I can't feel His presence. I can't feel He's with me in it. Well, are you still looking toward Him? Or are you desponding and full of unbelief and not looking to the Lord in it and struggling along on your own, in your own strength? If you are, my friends, then this is the cause. Turn to Him. Look toward Him. His help. Ask Him to give you that humble submission and willingness to walk in that pathway. And plead with Him that He has promised to be with His people through the fires and the waters. He has said, I will be with thee. This is the blessed word of the Master. And we have this blessed promise in the verse we have read, I will not leave you comfortless. You see, friends, it comes right where you and I are, in our daily pathways, in our experiences, in the path that we are now walking in. You might be ready to say, but I feel comfortless. I don't feel His blessed comfort. I don't feel that blessed submissiveness toward Him. I don't feel any love toward Him in it. It makes my heart hard, rebellious. Unbelief works, Satan works, and it seems as if it's all an evidence against me. Perhaps Satan says, if you were right, if you had grace, if the Lord was really teaching you, why are you thus? Why are you in that condition now? You see, the Lord tries His own word. We have to be put to the test. But I believe this, my friends, if the blessed love of God is in our hearts, and remember this, if it is, He's put it there, that will flame up, flare up it will, Our hearts will go toward him in all our pathways, all our perplexities, whatever they may be. Our hearts will go out toward him, and you'll plead with him for this blessed comfort that he's able to give. You will. Oh, my friend, I wish I could describe it. The comfort the dear Lord can give in our trials. You see, if the Lord brings us into these trials and he sanctifies it with his own teaching and presence, well, what a blessing it is. As we enter into these pathways, we might feel that they're the very reverse, that there'll be nothing in it for us, that there's no profit. Our hearts might feel to be so rebellious and hard, and yet the Lord comes and he works and he softens and he makes willing and he blesses with just a whisper here, just a little help there. It might be something, just a few words, and you have a blessed persuasion that he's in it. It might be those words mentioned, this is the way, walk ye in it. You may have heard them hundreds of times, and yet there's an attraction in them, perhaps this time, a blessed attraction. And if they came from the Lord, my friends, your heart will ascend up to him. That blessed faith is given. There's a sweetness, there's a blessedness in the word of God when he speaks into our hearts. Oh, I would that that we might each feel and hear his blessed voice this day. He knows the pathway that we're each walking in. Only he does, I don't. And really, I'm thankful I don't. Because if the Lord is pleased to use me and give you a word and I know not your case, I feel it's much easier to give him all the praise and all the glory then. It's more blessed. Oh, I would then that he might come and visit your heart and my heart this day and come right where we are and pour in a blessing. Ah, he is able. He knows where we each are. And it may be you can't tell anybody the path that you're walking in. You can't always. You can't always tell even the children of God or his servants. No, it's sometimes a secret matter between yourself and the Lord. But you know it's revealed to him, don't you? Everything is revealed to him. We have to prove it at times, don't we, that he sees even our very thoughts. What a wonderful thing it is. I believe it was mentioned to me in the vestry before we went in today. The Lord sometimes sends answers before we even call to him. He does. All the wonders of it. You see, he reads our heart. He knows our need. Sometimes we think we have needs, and we think that it's time that we answer. But the Lord knows whether we really need it, whether the time has really come when we should have it. He does. And the Lord often doesn't send these things until we really need them. And sometimes we're brought to the very borders of despair. We're ready to give up. And that's the time sometimes when the Lord sweetly drops in. He sweetly comes with a word and he revives us. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. I'll lift you up. I'll keep alive my own work in your heart. I see you when you're ready to despair. I see you when you feel that you've got no religion. I see you when your heart's hard. When your heart has no desire after him, all he does, he sees us through and through. But what a blessed promise. I will not leave you comfortless. May we have some blessed realization of it this day. For his name's sake.